the what kind of difficulty we have in our practice, you know. The most difficult one is not mental one, but more physical one is more difficult to conquer. That is opposite, you know, maybe. You may think physical one is more easier to conquer, but it is not so. The psychological one may be divided into, in Buddhist divide in psychological difficulties into, one is the wrong view, or one-sided view is psychological difficulties we have. And this is rather easy to, you know, to get out of it. But more difficult psychological one is, you know, which is difficult for us to know what kind of, you know, what kind of mistake we are psychologically have, like habit, you know, habitual way of thinking, you know. If you know, those who think, you know, for instance, my watch, in case my watch is lost, you know, when watch is lost, some people may think always, oh, someone must have stolen it. Whenever he loses something, he thinks someone must have stolen it. But it is not actually so, you know. It may not be so. But he thinks, you know, before he, you know, think even, he immediately, you know, observing that, understanding that way, even without thinking. Because he does not think, that is trouble. If he is able, he has time to think before he gives some judgment, it may be all right, but he don't think, you know. But actually his mind giving some decision to it, conclusion to it. If he doesn't like someone, you know, before he think he is right or wrong, he thinks he is wrong, you know. That is a more habitual way of thinking. And it was created by some kind of past experience. And to get rid of this kind of habitual thinking is most difficult one. We call it Shivak. Kenwak is, you know, a wrong view. Shivak is more habitual things, which sticks, which always, which by which your mind is always tainted or corrupt in some way. So, by our heart practice, we should wash, you know. We should make our mind its mind clear and purified. That is, you know, more difficult practice. So this kind of, you know, stage, I don't think there is such a stage, you know, clear stage. This is first, or this is the second, or this is third. But it points out what kind of difficulty we have in our right thinking or right activity. It does not mean there is such a world, you know, desire world, or form world, or non-material world. Okay? How we acquire what? Faith. Yeah. That is, you know, actually only one way, you know. If Buddhists put emphasis on faith, you may feel strange. So I'm trying not to say faith or, you know, belief. I'm trying. But actually, there is no other way, you know, to in this point, I think all religion will be the same. And it is that, you know, the other day I explained in this way, you know, eyes cannot see eyes, you know. Although eyes can see many things, but eyes cannot see themselves. How eyes will you know themselves is to put faith in it. And that is, you know, not to be involved in dualistic idea. You know, when we say, don't be involved in dualistic idea, it means that don't be involved in idea of object or subject. Actually, Buddhists put emphasis on this point. The difference between Hinayana teaching and Mahayana teaching is this point. The view of substantiality, you know. It's to put object in front of ourselves and to say, here is a book. That is usual understanding, but is not real, is not complete, and is not real. When we say, here is, you know, this book, it means that here is my mind. My mind is here, you know. My mind is looking at it. When you reflect on yourself, you know, your mind is projected in objective world. And you say, this is my mind, but actually your mind is here, you know, not there. So my mind is not something which you can see, which you can understand. When you understand in that way, my mind, your mind is all over, wherever you see something that is your mind also. Do you understand? My mind is there. Nothing can be just objective. Things which we see is subjective and objective. And my mind is always working on it. In this sense, this is so-called essence of mind. Mind which follows, which is everywhere. And mind which creates everything. And that mind is not particular mind to myself or to you. It is more big mind. It is not small mind. Because it is everywhere. What was your question? I lost your question.
How to acquire faith.
You know, that kind of mind, you know, is not the mind which you can put, you know, as a which you can take as a face of object, you know. Because everything is that mind, you know, is on everything or in everything, I don't know. But that mind is everywhere. Do you understand that mind? That kind of mind, to understand that kind of mind is just to, you know, that is it, you know. No need to explain. But if, because you have always think or believe in something in terms of here or there or great or small, right or wrong. We must say something about it. But this is the ultimate truth which we should accept. You may say, if we shut our eyes, even though we shut our eyes, things exist, you know. But that is some created idea by your mind. So, whatever you do, wherever you go, that mind is follows you. Even though you don't figure out exactly what it is. So, the only way is to put faith on it. Then you will have, you know, freedom from this. That kind of mind is essence of mind. That kind of understanding is real understanding of emptiness. Maybe you know you don't accept what I say right now. Maybe it takes time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, this kind of teaching is not Hinayana or Mahayana. It is ultimate truth. When Lotus Sutra, knowing this point, says you put faith in it, means you should know this. Know this mind. This is essence of mind. Or big mind. Okay? Did you understand? So a Buddhist doesn't, you know, accept any kind of mind, you know, except this mind. We don't accept just objective being or subjective being. We don't say mind creates things or things produce function of mind. Mind-like function. Or material first, or a mind first. We don't say so. Whatever it is mind and materialistic, material and spiritual. That is. And we only discuss something which is both material and spiritual. This is the golden rule of Buddhism.
The other thing I make out of what you say is that an answer to Ken's question is that in the West here, when we use the word faith, we usually mean something outside ourselves which we can depend on.
Uh-huh.
Which would mean that if we had faith in the Lotus Sutra, we could trust the Lotus Sutra and the teaching. Or if we had faith in you, we could depend on you.
Yeah.
Or if we had faith in our mother, we could depend on our mother.
Yeah.
But from what you say, it doesn't sound that way.
No.
It has to do with a state of mind rather than trusting on something.
Yeah.
But what that state of mind is, it's not clear.
Not clear. Maybe. No one can make it clear.
The word faith is maybe not a good word.
No, not at all good. So I don't like to use that word, faith, you know. It seems to have something to put faith in it, you know. It is not so, you know. All the things we see is just good experience of, you know, good means of suggesting the true ultimate reality. So not only small vehicle, but all the teaching and all the being, whatever it is good means of Buddha. Who is Buddha? We don't know. It is not something we can describe. It's beyond description, but something we have to, you know, believe in it. Without that, we cannot think, we cannot say anything, we cannot do anything. Nothing exists. So to find out that essence of mind is, or how to talk about the essence of mind is good, skillful means of Buddha. So he's always talking about which is not possible to talk about. That is skillful means. What it means by skillful means. So for Buddhists, there is no other teaching than skillful means. Whatever the teaching may be, that is just skillful means.
Roshi, that all the teachings, the Upanishads, the Yoga Sutras, the Brahma Sutras, then they are all Buddha's teachings, aren't they?
Yeah, if we understand it that way.
If I fell down and broke my leg, then that's also the Buddha's teaching.
Yeah. Not fair, yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even though you die, there is Buddha's teaching.
When the Buddha said have faith in the teaching, that's a skillful means. It isn't the teaching itself, but it's a skillful means.
Yes. Yes.
So
so skillful means, in other words, is very important. You know, without it, we have no approach to the. Only approach is skillful means, because we cannot grasp that essence of mind. Only by skillful means we can grasp it.
Is skillful means direct transmission?
Yeah, skillful means, you know, by to transmit, we have nothing to transmit, you know. Oh, you know.
Do we not use understanding in a sense? Do we not use the word understanding instead of faith? You have understanding is, it seems to me, is the word that we use, the Buddhists use, instead of having faith, is to have understanding.
Understanding is necessary, you know. This kind of talk is understanding, you know. Although we cannot unless you understand what I'm saying completely, you know. You may not understand.
I have to believe it, though, before I can understand.
Yeah, believe, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, nothing wrong to believe in essence of mind. Nothing wrong with it. If you don't understand, you know, you should try to understand it. If you understand what I'm saying, you know, you will understand there's no way to, you know, to understand it.
It always seems so tongue-in-cheek, like you don't want us to understand, and that's understanding, and it's like a something chasing its tail, and I always try to push that out of my mind when you ask.
You know, what I'm saying is very logical, you know. So I say, do you understand? Do you agree with me, you know? So far, nothing wrong with my statement. That is what I'm saying. You see? And the conclusion is, it is not possible to understand the essence of mind. That is my conclusion. And when I say, do you understand, means, is there any, you know, mistake in my, you know, way of thinking?
Can we experience the essence of mind?
Yeah. Yes and no. Yes, but it is not possible to have full experience of it. That is why we continue our practice. And that is why we enjoy our practice. Because there's it is endless, trip. One after another, you will enjoy, you know, various things. And that there's no end, you see. but you feel very good. And you are not fooling. You are not fooled by anything. You have actual, you know. feeling in it, in your life. That is more, you know, our way of life.